Shalom, shalom, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Pulse of Israel here in our eternal and ancestral homeland, the land of Israel, in our eternal and indivisible capital, Jerusalem, since King David's time. I recently came across a really powerful article titled The New Jew, and it goes into the whole political realignment of the Jewish people today, written by New York Post journalist Carol Markowitz. And I am very pleased to be able to talk directly with Carol. So shalom, shalom, Carol, how are you?
Hi, Avi, thank you so much for having me.
It is a real pleasure. Again, I told you, dynamite piece, so important. I believe helping people dissect our new reality of the world, the Jewish people, Israel, politics. But I don't want to talk about it. I want you to talk about it. What exactly did you write it? When, why did you write it?
So I wrote about the change happening in the American Jewish community and about how there used to be sort of this impression of what a Jew was in America. And they were always on the left. They were quite liberal. They weren't particularly religious. The religion was sort of secondary to the cultural part of being Jewish. And being culturally Jewish ultimately translated into like shopping at the right supermarkets and eating bagels and, you know, going to Yom Kippur services once a year, maybe. And I think what's changing now is a deeper appreciation for Judaism in the Jewish community. And also the feeling of we don't have to be one way anymore. We don't have to be of the left anymore. And so many people are moving rightward. And what I say in the piece is the political realignment is happening. Absolutely. You could see it by the numbers. But more than that, the cultural realignment is happening. We're not going to be sitting ducks anymore. We're not going to be this weak Jew who doesn't stand up for himself. We're going to be something else now. And it's really nice to watch it happen.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that I try to be vocal and active, even though sometimes I just want to hide and enjoy my family and focus what's important and like, keep social media and all the horrible stuff going on in the world, like just keep it on the internet. But again, the reason I do use my voice, especially from Israel, is in order to help people strengthen their Jewish identity. And I'm one of those believers that, and you touch upon this, how Israel today, the Jewish state of Israel today, is something that can be used and should help Jews become more confident in their Jewish identity moving forward. And you touched upon Israel. So can you also refer to that?
So part of what I think is happening is a lot of the Jews who I'm talking about in the piece, who are moving rightward, do have that deep connection with Israel. And look, I mean, the existence of Israel as a home for Jews is, obviously important to the majority of Jews. But so many Jews, like, for example, I'm from the Soviet Union. I was born in the Soviet Union, and I came to America when I was a small child. So to me, the existence of Israel is not theoretical. It's so many Jews from the former Soviet Union went to Israel because that was, you know, somewhere that took them in and made them feel as part of something. And it's their home too. And they got to leave a totalitarian system and move to freedom in Israel. And, you know, I feel like a lot of American Jews whose families might have been here since the turn of the last century just take all of that for granted. They imagine Israel as, you know, it's nice that Jews have a homeland, but is it really important? Whereas I feel like to Jews like me who know how important it is, who know that that it is a beacon of hope and freedom and possibility to Jews all over the world, we can't take that for granted. I can't take the existence of Israel for granted just because I am safe and secure in America. I know that there are Jews all over the world who don't have that same safety and security that I have.
And it's interesting bringing your background as being born in Russia and appreciating more so. And you touched in your article how just 100 years ago, Jews, American Jews, were forbidden from going, living in certain areas, going to certain clubs. And they were excluded, anti-Semitism. And yet, thank God, as the Jewish people have done throughout history, we ended up integrating and succeeding. Mm-hmm. And with that came the weakening of the Jewish, of the Jewish spirit, and the strong Jewish identity. But yet, coming from your background of Russian Judaism or Russian Jewry, you had that appreciation. How can you explain? Because you explain in your article how you noticed the difference in Florida, seeing more Florida couples with guns as opposed to, obviously, you don't see any Jews in New York,
right,
with guns. Mm-hmm. But how else would you explain the change going through part of American Jewry? Like, why? Why is it happening?
So the gun thing is very big, actually, because it's sort of the gateway to other issues on the right. I think Israel and the Second Amendment, the gun issue in America, is very closely tied for the Jews moving rightward. It's the statement of, we will secure ourselves. We're not waiting for you to take care of us or somebody else to take care of us. We're going to take care of ourselves. So I open the piece and I talk about going to the Chosen Comedy Festival in Miami. It is a comedy festival of Jewish comics. So the entire room, I mean, I don't know how many people were there, but it was not a stadium, but a big auditorium. So, you know, thousands of people, I would say. And the one of the early comics asked, you know, is everybody in the room Jewish? And like three people who were not Jewish raised their hand. So a great majority of Jewish audience. And then a comic came on and she started making anti-gun jokes. And a room full of Jews should be fully open to these anti-gun jokes, right? After all, we're all just on the left and we all have the same beliefs. And it was silent. It was silent. And then she kept going because she was like, what's wrong with you guys? Like, she literally said, you know, you don't like my anti-gun jokes. And then people started booing her. And I'm a lifelong conservative. Again, I'm from the former Soviet Union. You don't leave the former Soviet Union and get to a free country and stay left. Unlikely. I mean, it happens, but very rare. Most of us are on the right. So I'm a lifelong conservative, and I've always wanted Jews to be more conservative, and I've always wanted the Jewish community to move more to the right. But I hadn't realized that it had actually happened, that it was happening all around me. And the booing was shocking. It was just shocking because it was a statement of not just having the gun at home to protect your family, to say, nobody's coming for my family, nobody's coming to hurt us, but to let everybody know that we're going to protect ourselves and that we don't live this quiet, afraid life anymore. We're going to be loud and proud about the fact that we are going to protect ourselves. And so I talk about it, you know, that one of the first people that I met when we moved to Florida a year ago was a wealthy older Jewish couple, and both of them carry guns. And I told all my friends in New York about it. I was like, this couple, oh my God, they're Jews who carry guns and they're in their 70s and it's like amazing. And then I met a ton of other people just like them. And I didn't know that this even existed. I thought that the Jews were specifically anti-gun, and the change in Florida is going to happen elsewhere because Jews continue to be assaulted on the streets of New York. You're going to see one of these Jews pull a gun and fight back. And that's when we're really going to see the change in behavior, because the idea that you could just come up to a Jew on the streets of Brooklyn and hit him in the head and run away because nobody's going to kill you is one that exists. And then when it doesn't exist anymore, that's when we're going to see real change.
So I want to play devil's advocate with you for a second, because some people might say, Carol, come on, you're in Florida, maybe summer from New York, but you're in Florida. But no, the Jews in New York, no, they're still liberal. They still are against the Second Amendment, et cetera, et cetera. How would you respond to that? Is this also something you are seeing, even with the Jews who remain living in the New York area? Right. And I'm talking as a New Yorker. I know New York.
Yeah, yeah. No, me too. I mean, I'm a lifelong from Brooklyn, you know, lifelong New Yorker, just moved a year ago. You say Florida as if Florida didn't always have liberal Jews too. I mean, Florida was specifically a liberal Jewish haven. In the election 2000, you know, I don't know if everybody remembers this, but George W. Bush and Al Gore, it was the Jewish vote in Florida that had messed up sort of the results, because these elderly Jews accidentally voted for Pat Buchanan instead of Al Gore. It was a whole thing with hanging chads, et cetera. Right. But it was the Jewish vote that normally swung Florida to the Democrats. And so the idea of like, oh, it's Florida. Well, yeah, it's Florida now, but it wasn't Florida, you know, even 10 years ago, 5 years ago, it wasn't. And even now, Ron DeSantis, as I mentioned in the piece, they say that he got 45% of the Jewish vote. I feel like that number is higher, but it's an exit poll. It's imperfect. So let's say even 45%. That means 55% of the Jews in Florida didn't vote for Ron DeSantis, which is bananas to me, because he is just such a fantastic governor and such a friend to Jews. But going beyond that, it's like the thing is, you could look at the parallel of what's happening to Jews in America with what happened in Israel. Israel was once a left-leaning country. Israel was once, you know, the kind of country where the left in America would celebrate their, you know, socialism. But it's not anymore. And it has changed in a variety of ways. Security is really just one issue, even though it's obviously a very important issue in Israel. It's one issue. And they've changed on a range of issues. And that's what I see happening to American Jews. It's the gateway might be Israel and might be guns, but it's not going to end there. There's so much more. Yes, what I'm seeing is in Florida, but it's going to happen elsewhere too. And in fact, actually, a lot of people are crediting the Republicans winning the House of Representatives to the Jewish vote on Long Island. They elected a number of congressmen and swung the House. So we can say, oh, it's not, you know, it's not quite here yet. And I say that in the piece. I don't think that Jews are majority Republican now, or even conservative, or even moderate, honestly. I still think the shift is happening.
So that's very interesting. And I just want to strengthen your point, because I remember being a kid, I grew up in the 70s and 80s in New York, traveling down to Florida. The Jewish communities in Florida were very small compared to today. Most of the Jews who today live in Florida, even the retirees, came from the upper north. They were in the Northeast, and they used to be New York liberals, yet today living in Florida. So that very much, it's not that they were Florida Southern Republicans. Many of them, again, even myself, I remember growing up in a liberal Jewish home, New York City, parents, family, all voted Democrat. And today, majority are voting or would be voting Republican, whoever's left in America.
Right.
So if you don't mind me just going into the Israel direction, since you touched upon it, and the processes, the political, sociological processes that we see in America are very, very similar to Israel. Today, we have protests in Israel, and it's the left basically protesting, a minority left protesting because they lost power. And they are trying to make it seem to the world as if it's an illegitimate government. Sound familiar? Illegitimate government. Their plans are going to destroy the country, totally undemocratic. And of course, me and other very politically savvy people here in Israel are trying to get the truth out to our fellow American Jews and people around the world, saying, guys, don't trust the media. This is a minority. They're the ones who are undemocratic. The whole Israeli people voted for this. It's been the left that was undemocratic, usurping and judicial dictatorship over the years, totally taking away the powers. How do you see this being reported now in America today?
So it is being reported as if these are massive protests and not a minority point of view in Israel. But look, we also just watched Israel have several elections over the last couple of years, and the left didn't win any of them. So it's not like, now the right won, and therefore, Israel has been the center right winning all along, right? It hasn't been a single election where the left overperformed or anything. So I think it sticks with the idea that Israel is a right-leaning country. These leftists can protest all they want. And I think you're right that a lot of it is for show. A lot of it is just for the media to show that we're, it's not, that they're not legitimate, which is, you know, an interesting stance for a side that has been really concerned about democracy and our democracy in the U.S. and elsewhere. But they did the same thing when Trump was elected. He was illegitimate. He was a Russian spy. He, just all these things that they think we forgot and we haven't. The idea that the U.S. and Israel continue to have these free elections is really important, and it shows to the world what's possible in freedom. And the fact that they're choosing people that the left doesn't like, that's, kind of their problem. And I think that they shouldn't be given too much attention. I mean, obviously the media loves them because it strengthens their argument, for the left. But in general, I kind of wish we would just pay less attention to the loud,
noise
protesters who don't have anything else, really. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's very similar. The way I explain it to people, I say, because unfortunately, many of these leaders, they're political leaders, they're army leaders, they're judicial official leadership, whether current or former. And on the one hand, they're saying, stop the civil war that Netanyahu is causing. Well, it's really them who are inciting the masses to potentially have a civil war. And it's all, as we say in Hebrew, hafuch halafuch, it's all 180 degrees different. But it's so important for people to understand there is only one side. Thank God, even with the disagreements in Israel between right and left, and there are plenty of disagreements on plenty of issues, vast majority of Israelis, not just Jews, but plenty of Arabs, are very much supportive, if not neutral, toward this government. And the voices that are leading this protest are a tiny, tiny minority, but unfortunately led and created by the media that supports their messaging that just makes a mountain out of a molehill for everyone who's just trusting the headlines. And again, very similar between America and Israel. But I want to jump back to your article for a second, and we'll end with that, because you end with a very, very powerful quote that I want to bring in. And I hope everyone who has not read your article yet, they will go read your article, and I will I'll post the link for everyone to be able to read it as well. And you end like this: Israel is an imperfect example, but it's instructive. Israel was once a left-leaning country. It is not today. The shift runs parallel to what is happening with Jews in America. Leftism rewards victimhood, and the new Jews have decided to be victims no more. Please expand upon that. And I know we touched upon this, but still, that's a powerful way to end.
So in leftism, you're always trying to out-victim each other. It's like, who had it worse? Whose lives were most difficult? And it's something that Jews should just not participate in. Yes, we've had great difficulties in our history. And, I also mentioned in the piece that one of the things that absolutely rubs me the wrong way, rubs, many new Jews the wrong way, is when somebody's accused of Jew hatred, a term that I prefer to anti-Semitic because it's just too clunky. But when somebody's a Jew hater and they get taken to the Holocaust Museum, and we're like, no, not the Holocaust Museum, please. Like, no, not, it's so embarrassing to have to prove our humanity to people. And I think it's equally embarrassing to have to constantly reassert our victimhood and say, look at what's been done to us. Look at how terrible we've been treated. Because the Jew hater is not going to see that as like, oh, okay, then I won't do that. They'll be like, yeah, well, you deserved it, and I'm going to continue to behave this way too. The new Jew has decided that they will be full of pride in who they are, and they will not care about the hatred aimed at them. And in fact, they will stand up to that hatred and not lean into it and explain and deflect and participate in the self-flagellation. They won't do it. And I love seeing that part in particular. To me, Jews not being the victims is really what this is all about. I want us to be a strong people who aren't afraid and who go through life unafraid. And a lot of that is, again, wrapped up in security, and security has to be our top priority.
So I love that you say that. And it's very similar. It's an exact parallel to what happens in Israel, even in the Jewish state of Israel. When diplomats come to Israel, the first place that the Israeli government officials take them is not to the Western Wall of the Temple Mount to show them, folks, this is our identity. This is our history. This is our pride, our joy, the gem of who we are for thousands of years. No, the government officials take them to the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, Yad Vashem. And it is so wrong. And I'm praying for the day when that changes. If they want to go visit there on their visit, fine. That is not the first visit in order to understand who we are as a people and why we are living in our ancestral homeland for thousands of years. So it is wonderful hearing you give over that message in your writings as well, and how you're terming the new Jew. And listen, with your continued work, with our continued work, little by little, more and more Jews will focus on the pride of their Jewish identity, which again, so much comes from the pride they should be feeling in the existence of the modern Jewish state of Israel, which is a miracle of miracles and the beacon of the beacon of overcoming oppression. That we should be there, that we should be the poster child of the whole progressive, what I really call regressive movement, if they if they really believed in the values that they talked about. But so thank you so much for putting that message out there. And hopefully more Jews who read that article will internalize the message and feel like, we're coming to be part of those those new Jews as well. No more victimhood. Right. We're no proud Jews.
Thank you, Avi.
Wonderful. Carol, thank you so much. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much. Really great talking to you.
Pleasure speaking to you too. All
right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, everyone. Carol Markowitz, journalist for the New York Post, writing her latest article, The New Jew. Fabulous, important, thought-provoking. So I hope everyone goes and reads that article, and I hope everyone internalizes that message, not just from the messages I've been giving in all of my videos, but also from that perspective as well that Carol wrote about. Signing off from the eternal and ancestral homeland of the Jewish people here in our eternal and indivisible capital, Jerusalem, since King David's time, this is Avi Abelo for the Pulse of Israel.
Pulse of Israel, frontline videos from the Holy Land. Support our work by donating today.